The Apostle John, in his writings, because of the many references he made to love in his first epistle, the Apostle John finally became to be known as the Apostle of Love, and that's the way he is thought of. As we have been studying from the first book of John, we've already been able to see that John declared what love was. He said that love is evidence of abiding in the light, or within God, that love is evidence of us having fellowship with God, and that love is evidence that we are children of God. And that's what this scripture today is going to concern. Earlier in 1 John 3:16, he gave us the definition of love. And the definition was of God laying down his life for us. And he also gave us the value of love. This is 1 John 3:18-19, where he says, love not in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. In the passage that we're going to study today, we're going to study from 1 John 3:10-15. And this, we will expound upon the theme of brotherly love in a greater depth so that John can explain to us just exactly how important brotherly love. And I think when we get through with this, that we can see just how very important it is. It's an essential thing that we must have, and that is love one for another. 1 John 3:10-15. The Bible says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who doth not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We're going to discuss in depth for just a few minutes today the brotherly love that John was trying to cause people to understand was so very, very important. Brotherly love is evidence, John says, of the sonship. Believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, believing in Him as our Messiah, as our Savior, believing in God through Jesus Christ. John says that we should love one another, for love is of God and love is from God. The Greek word for the love that God has for mankind is the word agape. This is a word that means active goodwill. And agape love emanates from God. That's why he said that we should love our brethren and we should love one another, because love is of God and love is from God. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Love one another, John says, for God is love. Every action that God has ever had to mankind was motivated by this agape love, or this active goodwill toward us. His love for humanity is what cost him the death of his son, giving his son so that man might have a hope and an opportunity of salvation. He loved mankind enough to give his own son, but he expects for that love to be reciprocated. Those who love, then, John says, demonstrate their sonship. They demonstrate that they are born of God. They demonstrate through the way that they treat the people around them that they know God, according to 1 John 4:7. But to love as God does is for us to truly know God, as the Bible and as John says that we should. But John doesn't want us to misunderstand this. He wants us to understand the importance of brotherly love, how it comes from God, how it is of God, and how it is all God motivated. So he continues to write here in this third chapter of 1 John, expanding and further defining what true love mentions. Brotherly love, John said, is defined by God's love. God manifested his love to humanity through the gift of his son, 1 John 4:9-10. The Bible says that God sent his only begotten son that we might live through his son and that we may have a relationship with God himself. He sent his son, John says, and this is important, he sent his son to die for us, not because of the love that mankind showed to God, but because of the love that mankind, that God had for mankind. He sent his son for two reasons. He sent his son to earth so that we might live and prosper and be saved through his son, and that his son might be for us a propitiation. This is defined as an appeasing sacrifice for our sins. Jesus then, through Jesus, he is able through his perfection to stand between us and God. He is able to advocate between man and God. And as the Bible tells us in John 14 and 6, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to get to the Father is through me. Jesus is our advocate between man and God. God manifested his love to the world by giving the gift of his only begotten Son. And Jesus didn't just die to provide forgiveness, but he also died so that we through him might have a new life and a new way of living life in a way that would be pleasing to God and would give us a good relationship with God Almighty. Then John continues of the type of love that we should have to be pleasing to God. And John continues this with a if and a when example. Here's what he says. If the kind of love that God has toward us, this active goodwill, this agape love, which demonstrates the love that God has for humanity and to those that obey him, if God is this type of love, then this is the kind of love that we ought to have one for another. So if God has done this, which he has, then we should do this, which is what he has commanded. We are to love others not because they loved us first, but because God loved us first. And as God loved us first, we are to love him, and then we are to demonstrate that love by the love that we show to others. Because as God is love, so are we to be as his children. John is saying you demonstrate your love for God by loving each other and loving your brother. So with brotherly love properly defined, John moves on again and he points out another truth. John says that brotherly love is evidence of our fellowship with God, and that through brotherly love we have the opportunity, the possibility of abiding in God and having God abide in us. He says in 1 John 4 and 12, when we keep the commandment to love one another, God will abide in us and his love will be perfected in us. You know, Jesus has always taught that he and the Father were the same. He and his Father had the same thoughts. They had the same thing. They had the same aspirations. They were one, he and his Father. And he said, this is the way it should be with the relationship that we could have with the Father, is that our minds would be in unity and in harmony with God. The apostles has testified that the Father, God, sent his Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, 1 John 4 and 14. And 1 John 4 and 15 said, because of this, we must be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. He wants us to realize this. We have to realize who God is. We have to realize who Jesus is. We have to believe in the divinity and the deity of Jesus, because that we are then able to understand and to live in such a way to realize that God is love. He loves humanity, and that we that abide in him, and God then abides in us. John then continues. He takes it a step farther as he examines and teaches this theme, this exposition of brotherly love, because he said brotherly love provides assurance. What John is saying here, that when brotherly love is perfected, when we love our brother, when we love God, and the attributes of God abide in us, that we can have boldness. So as we become more mature and more complete in our brotherly love, in the day of judgment, there will be boldness on our account, because the boldness will come from knowing that we are his children and that we have strived to be like him and the world. John continues, as brotherly love is perfected, fear can be dispelled. Torment and the thought of torment and the promise of torment to unbelievers is something that will produce fear. But the more we grow in the love of God, that degree of fear is dispersed. That's what he tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 18. And then John begins to close down this exposition on brotherly love. And he's trying to prove to us through his writing that brotherly love is essential to loving God. This is a very important thing. Brotherly love, the love that we have one to each other, is essential if we are going to satisfy our God. To claim that we love God and hate our brother, John said, makes us a liar. If we hear people claim that they have fellowship with God, yet they walk in the darkness of the world, when we have people that claim they do not need a Savior because they do not sin, when we hear people say that they believe Jesus and they know Jesus, but yet they do not keep His commandments, John said these are things that are opposite. These are lies. But he said another lie, a same lie on the same plane, is to one that says he loves God, yet he hates his brother. John said they're nothing but a liar. And then further he comes up to say that they are a murderer. And he explains this with this statement out of 1 John 4 and 20. If you cannot love one that you cannot see, which is God, you're going to have to first be able to love those that we can see, which is our brethren. To love God, John says, and I believe he's pretty well proved it in these verses, we must develop brotherly love. That is why Jesus taught the commandment in John 13, verses 34 through 35, where he said, love one another as I have loved you. This is why Jesus made a partner statement in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 35 through 40, when he said, the first commandment is to love God, and the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. As then we conclude this short little lesson, what John is trying to tell us is that brotherly love is the evidence that we show in our life that we accept and realize the deity and the sonship of Jesus Christ, and that is defined by the love that God showed to humanity by giving His Son for us. It is also the evidence of the fellowship that we have with God. Brotherly love means a means of providing assurance in the day of judgment. Brotherly love is essential. It is even a foundational thing. It's not the only thing we have to do to be pleasing to God, but it is a foundational thing that we must have, that we must love God, we must love our fellow man, and this is one of the things that Christianity is built on. Jesus gave us a verse in John 15 and 12 that I think pretty well sums up what I've been trying to say here and what John was also trying to teach us. John 15 and 12, this is my commandment, Jesus speaking, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is an essential commandment of God that we cannot neglect. We must always show the love of God displayed through us through His Son Jesus, and we must love each other as we love ourselves. We just demonstrate our love for God by demonstrating the love that we have for our fellow man. Very short lesson, but I think this is a pretty important teaching, and things good for us. Let's have a song of dedication.